Well, I'm glad you're here this morning. We have a few of our moms gone today, but we are looking forward to ministering to those of you who are here. I would like to, first of all, draw your attention to a couple of references, and then we'll make some comments and come back to them in a few moments. But first one is in Proverbs chapter 1, and the second one will be in Proverbs chapter 6. So if you look at these two references with me, in Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, we read, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." Look at chapter 6 and verse 20. "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. And when thou goest, it shall lead thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life to keep thee from." And he goes into some considerations of what the instruction of the father and the law of the mother is meant to keep them from. Over the years, I have learned that a sermon on the subject of motherhood tends to stir up different emotions in all of us. Every man sitting here has been impacted by a mother to some level. And some of you will have sweet memories, precious memories. And others feel pain because of the lack of a positive role model or influence from the mother in your life. And most mothers, I have found, struggle with some degree of guilt as they grow in their knowledge and understanding from God's Word on the biblical role of the mother. And I know that other women struggle with the disappointment of not even having children. And they wrestle with God's providence. And this day reminds them that He has chosen to withhold the gift of a child. I've also learned that there are women who in their past made difficult choices, ungodly choices, to even abort a child. Regardless of your thoughts and your feelings this morning, I hope that in our church you will find a support system to help you through many challenges that surround motherhood. I know, and you have learned, that life can be very messy, and we all need to be ready to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Motherhood is not the only function that God gives to a woman, nor is it described as her greatest calling. It is a great and worthy calling, but not her only calling. As children of God, we all have the same noble calling. We've been studying it for a rather lengthy period of time, to walk worthy of our special calling that has been given to us from God when He called us to receive the grace of salvation. This is our greatest calling, regardless of what role we fill in life, to show forth our gratitude to Him who has loved us and sacrificed Himself for us. You will generally find in a church family, even in a small one like ours, women who are single, you'll find some women who are married without children, and you'll find older women who have completed the years of raising children. And according to Paul in his letter to Titus, women are to be a support system for each other. Not only passing on what you've learned from your experiences, but supporting one another through life's many challenges. And motherhood has many challenges that all women need to participate and be supportive of. In the church, we find a spiritual family who is committed to helping one another walk worthy of our calling, regardless of the role that God has given to us in life. And we also know there are evil forces at work that are seeking the destruction of motherhood. You may have even heard within the last week, they're trying to remove that word from the vocabulary, and now they're going to birthing parent, that motherhood is just not a useful word anymore. By God's design, He has made her role, His design has made her influence to be a very special part of the development of children, which will leave an indelible mark on their life. In the two references that we read just a moment ago from Proverbs, we hear the same exhortation to children who have developed under the influence of godly parents. They have reached adolescence and they are now approaching their young adult years, ready to get out on their own. And they're being warned against the neglect of their parents' influence. Both parents have partnered in the development of their children. I specifically want to draw your attention to that role, go back to Proverbs 1, that is mentioned concerning the mother, as well as chapter 6, and that is, neglect not, forget not, the law of thy mother. And he warns every child as they prepare. Specifically, the writer is directing his thoughts to his son, but it's in reference to every child as they prepare for adult life. They must not, the exhortation, don't forget. Don't forget the law of your mother. In Proverbs 1, when you look at this statement here, we notice that, first of all, from verses 8 through 19, it's verses 8 and 9 are a part of a larger context of warning to children that they must be very careful as they get ready to go out into this world. Many evil influences, many things that will allure you and draw you into the snare. And they're being warned not to neglect what has been taught to them. It will help protect them. So in Proverbs 1:8, we find the emphasis here, the exhortation in verse 8, to forget not the law of your mother. It assumes that the mother has indeed instilled into the minds of her children the law. Whatever that means, we'll get to it in a moment, but it assumes that the law has been instilled into their minds. Instill is a word that I'm using deliberately. It's a good word. It describes the process of putting the law into the minds. Instilled means to slowly infuse, and it gives the idea of the picture of just droplets. We think of a still that vaporizes drop by drop. This is to instill. It's reversing the process, drop by drop, into the minds of the children. And this is what a mother does. It describes the means that she uses to put into their minds. Her law is instilled into their minds. It's instilled day by day, week by week, year by year. It's a process of instilling her law into their minds. The law of the mother is taught, and it is caught. It's not everything that she teaches, though it's assumed she will do that. It's also assumed that she will demonstrate in her life the kind of qualities that will impact their children, who through both their eye gate and ear gate, as John Bunyan describes them, are used to instill the law into their minds, and eventually, hopefully, it takes hold of their affections. We know that's how things work. It enters the mind, but unless it takes hold of the affections, it will not remain. And so the question then, okay, so what is the mother's law? It's assumed that she has instilled her law into the minds of her children. It's even described as being very beneficial to her children in verse 9, and we'll look at that in a moment. But what is the law of thy mother that children must not forsake, must not leave home without it? They must keep it close and listen to it for the rest of their life. It's interesting that the writer uses the same word that describes the law of Moses. The law, Torah, is the Hebrew word. It's used a little differently, as it's used in a variety of ways in the Old Testament. But it does embody her rules for living that are valuable. Her rules are establishing a moral code that will shape their conduct. She teaches her children how to apply the instruction of the father in the home as her children work out that instruction. The law of the mother will instill into their minds a variety of things. I'll name a few, and I know these by experience and by observation. The law of the mother is instilling in her children how to share and not be selfish, how to respond to authority, how to receive correction, how to be responsible and properly care for your own possessions, the importance of doing a job well, being grateful and showing appreciation to others. On and on it could go, right? This is what the mother's law looks like and sounds like as over months and years she's instilling into their minds the things that she knows that home stands for, what her husband believes and what he embraces. She takes those truths and she distills them into the minds of her children. And it shapes them, becomes a part of them, hopefully permanently. This moral code that she is putting into her children does not become, as it were, insignificant when the child reaches 18 or 30 or 50 or 70. This moral code is permanent that she ought to be writing upon the minds of her children. These moral codes are on her mind, and she looks for every opportunity to instill these values into her children's mind. You may use various means to help. I know my wife used charts, lots of charts, good behavior charts, to help get smiley faces if you were doing the right things the way you should. There are various ways to encourage your children to do the right thing. But she is observant of their strengths and weaknesses. She knows what they are. No one has to tell her. She knows. She understands the importance of her law being an influence on the conscience of her children. Sometimes, as mothers, you're required to re-examine your methods. But the goal never changes, nor do biblical methods ever change. But sometimes your methods may need adjustments. A mother must be guarded, however, against contemporary methods that conflict with God's clear teaching. And there are many of them out there, even in Reformed circles today, that we need to be very, very careful of. This is what shapes the law she gives to her children. It is the Word of God above everything else. Mothers are attentive to the instruction of the father. She is able to take his instruction and help the children apply it in their daily activities. Mothers and her children need to be reminded and encouraged by the benefits of her law that she is instilling into her children. It's good for her to hear the words that wisdom give to us, both in this portion and in chapter 6. Look at verse 9. It says, "For they, these things that are being instilled into the children, they shall become an ornament of grace unto their head." As he's addressing the young person getting ready to leave home, he calls it thy head. Don't forsake these things. They will be as an ornament of grace about thy head. So there's great value here being given to the child, the young person getting ready to go out on their own. It's interesting, an ornament of grace. The grace of God is being transmitted through the mother's law to her children. And when it's received, her law is an ornament. It adds an attractive quality because her law is intended to beautify the character of her children. Others see their qualities and they admire the qualities that you have instilled into your children. And not only are these things referred to as an ornament of grace, but they're called chains about thy neck. Very interesting phrase. Just the idea of the neck in the book of Proverbs is never used in a literal sense. It's always figuratively. It can be used in both a negative and a positive way. It's used to refer to someone who is unwilling to bow their neck in submission. They are called stiff-necked. Or don't he that hardeneth his neck. And in that you see the unwillingness to yield or the unwillingness to turn away from a path or a course that they are on. So the neck figuratively here, chains about thy neck, is a reference to the disposition that the law of thy mother has had on your life. These are tokens that you've yielded to her law. You've profited from it. And everyone is able to see it. It's not like it's not visible. You wear these things like ornaments and chains around your neck as to whether or not you have received the law of thy mother. So how important it is that mothers understand the impact they have in instilling this moral code on the mind of your children. It's very, very vital. Look at chapter 6 and verse 20. We read the same thing a little differently here, and that's good because it gives us a little bit different perspective in Proverbs chapter 6. We read in verse 20, "My son, keep thy father's commandment." And here again is the instruction of the duties that we are meant to conform to, that has been established in the home, as it were, by the father's commandment. But he also says, "And forsake, not only keep thy father's commandment, keep it, as it were, to cherish it in your heart, to be something that you value and hold precious to yourself, keep it." But he also says concerning the mother again in verse 20, "And forsake not the law of thy mother." The same exact phrase is repeated as we found it in chapter 1. Children are encouraged and exhorted again to think on the law of thy mother. When, verse 22, or verse 21, he says, "And then bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck." There's another reference here. So the binding them is the tying them together, making them one by one, the strong rope, as it were, binding them together, tying them all up, binding them, and to do it continually. Don't allow them to begin to unravel by the world's philosophies and ideas. Be wary of your own pride or whatever else might attack those things. Bind them continually in your life. They have great value for you. And so keep thy father's commandment and mother's law and bind them continually upon thine heart, both the father's commandments and the law of thy mother, and tie them about thy neck. And again, as a reminder, as it were, even in chapter 1 about the neck, tying them, linking them together, keeping, as it were, that neck as again a neck that is agreeable to the law, agreeable to conformity, a neck that is not stiff and hardened, but a neck that is constantly yielding its way to the things that you have taught your children. And so the appeal is to the children, the young people growing up, that they take these things that have been given to them, the father's commandment and the mother's law, and they cherish them, they value them, and they will find, and this is comfort for parents, if they have received these things from them, they will find in verse 22, that when thou goest about, or even as it would be, if we would translate it into the New Testament, it is as you walk, as you, meaning go about here and there. This is the same idea. As you go about your life, wherever you live, wherever your life takes you, as you go about, wherever you go, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. There is value here, and this is hope for parents to be faithful to their task, because if their children receive it, keep it, and cherish those things, they know their children have great benefit to their life. These things will go with them, in verse 22, and lead them. It will guide them in the choices that they will make, the places they will go. When thou goest, these things shall lead thee. And when thou sleepest, these things shall keep thee. And it's an allusion to going to bed with a clean conscience. You know what a polluted conscience does to sleep? It torments sleep. It's hard to find sleep. People have to resort to medications and alcohol and everything else to find sleep because their conscience has been defiled. But when you take these things that have been given to you, as we as parents work hard to give to our children, they have that benefit for them to give them good sleep. It'll be with them when they sleep. And when they get up in the morning, the first thoughts on their mind are not, what bad thing can I do today? Or who can I cheat today? Or what can I do to gain money inappropriately today? No. The same moral code is there to guide them, to lead them when they wake up in the morning. That's a sweet encouragement to every parent. That if we are faithful to give what they need to instill into their little minds now, in these early formative years, they have the potential of reaping wonderful benefits down the road. And what parent wouldn't want these things for their children? And so we instill them as fathers and as mothers. He paints an interesting picture here in verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp. We think of an old-fashioned lantern. It's probably a good picture to see. The commandment, which was stated here of the Father, the commandment is like a lamp. It's the housing, the structure that is there. But the law of the mother is the light of the lamp. And together they form this beautiful guiding instrument for the life of their child. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And here, what parent, father, and mother does not understand reproving or reproofs generally. The word means, it's a very broad word in the Hebrew, and it means to advance instruction. And it includes such things as rebuke, correction, chastisement, discipline, the ability to refute wrong thinking by confronting it with the truth. And so we as parents must be persuasive in our confrontation with what is wrong in their life. Mothers cannot make excuses for their children's behavior any more than fathers should make excuses. It is our job for the well-being of their future life that we confront those things. And why is all of this done, mothers? Fathers also included, but particularly mothers, why is all of this done? It is to protect our children from the allurements of the world and the deception that is in it. And that's why it goes into verse 24, to keep thee from, just as chapter 1 and verse 10 says to the son, beware of the allurements of sinners. And so we instill these things, knowing that it is for their safety and it is for their protection. We must never grow weary in the process, though it is often tiring. We must never say, I've been correcting the same thing over and over and over. It seems like there's no end to it. Probably so, but because the nature of our children, as the scriptures teach, the heart is bound up into sin, and we are responsible for helping it to get untangled. While no mother or father can make their child hear, as Danny said, we don't have the power, the grace to do that. That's something we rely on God to do. However, one of the means that God has used to advance his purpose is the instruction of his word. And so to the father, he gives his instruction. And for the mother, she instills her moral code into their mind. Because we know this is God's means for carrying out his eternal plan concerning them. And we also recognize as parents that none of us are perfect. We are all flawed. And so as we go through the process, we are asking God to cover the multitude of our shortcomings. Bless the good that we do, and please remove the hindrances of our weaknesses from the lives of our children. Doesn't always happen that way, but we know because we're human, we are flawed. And our children will discover that in time as well. We recognize these things, and as our children grow up and become adults, however, they must learn to be grateful for what was passed on to them. And that spirit of gratitude is something instilled in children early. And we hope that it is an expression they exercise towards their parents as well. Eventually, every child must assume responsibility for their own life before God. They must build on the good that was given to them, and they must develop what was not provided for them in their training. There is an assuming of the responsibility for our own life before God. But how important it is that we do everything on our part as parents to give them a great advantage, to give them that big step forward in their life as they begin to live out their faith in the world. But for all of us, God has provided His Word to help make up those lacks in our life. He has given us His Spirit. He's given us His church, all to help us take the things that were good, that were passed on, and help to construct them and build on them even a better, more mature Christian life. And the goal of every member in the body of Christ is that we all grow toward adult spirituality. And so the law of thy mother, which is what Proverbs has shared with us, is a valuable resource for children. And it's important for you, as you face the allurements of the world, as a young person, as a child growing up, that her law will be an aid to you as you move through life. The law of thy mother is intended to be instilled in the child during these early formative years. If it's not effectively done in those early years, it is very difficult for a child to navigate the years that follow. Now, God is able to overcome whatever is lacking, but the process is much more difficult, and it's much more painful for them. And so both biblical and secular teachers recognize the importance of the early years in our children's development. We all know this to be true. I know by experience. You know by experience. We're familiar with Abraham Lincoln and the great debt that he felt he owed to his mother. And he wrote that everything I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. She died before his 9th birthday. And yet he knew the impact of her life was permanent and extended throughout all of his life. So the critical part of your involvement in the life of your children is, in many respects, where many of our young families are, and how important it is you identify and seize the opportunity that God has given to you. These are precious, valuable times to instill in them the instruction of the Father or the moral code of God, that it would guide them for the rest of their life. Our church is blessed to have children, young mothers, and what a noble, challenging call that our young mothers have to raise their children in our world that we live in today. And can I call upon all of us to be attentive and sensitive to this reality, that we need to encourage them. We need to reach out to the little children and encourage their behavior, all of us, as a community of believers. They need to be, as parents, as moms, they need to be committed in giving their children the law that will shape them as they grow and begin to make choices. And together as a church family, we need to participate both in our personal interest, our prayers, our encouragement to our young mothers, and to assist them whenever it is possible. What you're doing today will impact the church tomorrow. And so while your goal is to raise sound, godly, good children, you also keep in mind that the church is dependent on the outcome. We are greatly dependent. The church doesn't just reach the world out there as we have opportunity. One by one, we hope that God will give us an opportunity to rescue people from the snare of sin and darkness. But so much of the church's future is dependent on that young growth. Long term, the future leaders and the solid, mature base of the church is dependent on what's happening in the home today. And so I encourage all of us to be attentive to that and do everything we can to support the mothers in their mission today. I'm grateful, very grateful. I don't always preach on motherhood, but I'm grateful to do it today. I'm mindful of the impact of my own mother in my life, which she's received her crown already before the Lord, and God knows I look forward to deflecting anything good in me, like Lincoln said, I owe to my angel mother. I'm so grateful for that influence that shaped a very hard and callous nature by her tenderness. And so I'm grateful for her. And I can see the impact of her life and her moral code that she imprinted on me as a young man growing up. I fought against it, but the conscience was troubled as I sought to rebel against those things. And so, as a mother, what you put into their mind will have an eternal impact. Don't minimize it. Don't go weary in the mission. It's tiring, I know. But I pray that all of us would come around, all of our mothers, and be supportive and encouraging to you as you labor to raise your children for God. You have a great calling. It's a noble calling. And we recognize it at Great Light Baptist. I recognize it. And I want to be a part of encouraging you in this great mission that has been entrusted to you. Father, we thank you for the privilege of just thoughtfully considering some words from the wisdom literature of Solomon regarding the role of a mother in all of our lives. And I pray that the law of the mother, this moral code, would be something that we recognize as real, and our young mothers would not be distracted. They would be strengthened and encouraged to carry out that mission daily in their life, knowing that they are shaping these tender minds. And we are praying that the things they know in their little mind would soon take hold of their heart, and it would settle into their affections,
and these things would be permanently, indelibly stamped upon them. Bless our children as they grow and are trained, that out of these children you'll continue to raise up men and women of our future ministry at Great Light, our outreach into the world, that from these children will come great servants for you. There will come men and women who themselves will become the bedrock in the future of this church. Thank you, Father, for what we see going on even today in the lives of our families and mothers and the efforts that are being made. I pray that you'll continue to encourage them in this effort as they seek to fulfill their God-given role that you've given to them. Bless us now, I pray, and ask for special grace upon them in Christ's name. Amen.